Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I asked someone the other day if they could be any animal, what would they be? And that person said they wanted to be a cat. I thought, oh, that's an interesting animal. It's a nice animal, right? If you like cats, and cats are smart and they're sleek and beautiful. I saw a poll on the internet the other day that gave the top 10, plus more actually, animals that people wish they could be, if they could be anything, any animal. And the top 10 included wolf, cat, dolphin, dog, bird, lion, tiger, falcon, horse, bear. Boy, those are some smart animals, noble animals, sleek and beautiful animals. But nowhere on the list was the sheep. Not at all. You can also do those online surveys, and no, I have not done one, but I've observed and watched. Well, no, I take that back. I did. I won't tell you what my animal was, but when I looked at the different animals, they did have sheep on there, and the sheep was not a really good one. You didn't want to end up as a sheep. And yet, the scriptures describe us as sheep. It says in Isaiah chapter 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. If you think about sheep, perhaps this is fitting. One of the things that sheep do is follow the crowd. Follow the crowd. There's a story about some sheep in Istanbul, Turkey. 1,500 sheep started doing their thing, and the lead sheep, for whatever reason, decided to run off the edge of a cliff. And pretty soon, all the other sheep started going, and 1,500 sheep went off the cliff. 450 of them died, and the rest probably didn't die because they landed on top of the other fluffy sheep. But 1,500 sheep going off a cliff. We would never do that, would we? Follow the crowd? Go with what was cool at the time? Or, nah, but all we like sheep, we go astray and we follow others, even if it means our destruction. And you know, you've been there, or you know people in your life that have done that. So sheep like to follow the crowd. Another thing that sheep do is they get themselves into messes. Sheep are good at getting themselves into messes. And the thing about sheep is they're very susceptible. If sheep get wet, it's not a good thing. If sheep get wet, they get really heavy, and you can have a sheep that gets stuck in a river. And if you've worked with sheep, you know that sheep can end up cast. A cast sheep is a sheep that's stuck upside down. And if you've ever seen a cast sheep, you want to try not to laugh because the poor sheep is stuck, but it looks so ridiculous because the sheep is upside down and its legs are waving in the air and it's trying to turn itself over and it cannot because it's stuck. And I think there are times when we find ourselves in situations where we're stuck and there's not a good way out. Sheep are, they follow the crowd. They end up getting stuck. And also, sheep can get scared rather easily. I heard a story about a guy. He's a comedian, and he tells this story from a comedian's perspective. But his family owned sheep, and he had this one sheep that was just mean to him. He was probably a little kid, and the sheep was big, and the sheep would bully him for whatever reason. Well, he decided to get back at the sheep. And so he snuck around the side of the barn, and he waited for the sheep to come. And when the sheep came, he went, boo! And he scared the sheep, and the sheep fell over dead from a heart attack. And you can hear about sheep. There's about 116 sheep in a group that these dogs were barking at the sheep, and the sheep squished together in this herd, and 116 sheep died because of their fright. This is a real thing. And I'm one who is susceptible to fear, and maybe you can relate with that. All my life, in some way, shape, or form, I have dealt with fears in my life. And we have fears in our life. Some of them are little things which we have blown out of proportion. Other things, though, we've experienced difficulties and tragedies, and so we are afraid that this difficulty or tragedy might take place again. And so we also, like sheep, can be scared. And there's another thing, too. We, like sheep, are in some ways rather helpless. If you were to place a sheep and a wolf in a ring, my bets would be on the wolf. Wolf is powerful. Sheep are very helpless. They're fluffy. And the wolf has powerful teeth. And we have an adversary, the devil, who, as it says in the scriptures, is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. All we, like sheep, have gone astray and we have turned to our own way. But the wonderful message that we have today on what we call Good Shepherd Sunday is that we are a sheep with a good shepherd. We are a sheep with a good shepherd. It says in John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus says these words, "I am the good shepherd." And if you look at the front of your bulletin, you're going to see a picture of Jesus, the good shepherd, with a lamb on his shoulders. And throughout centuries of art, Christian art, the good shepherd image has been very meaningful to people. You can find pictures of the good shepherd in the catacombs, way back. In the catacombs, when the early church was worshiping and gathering the catacombs, there were pictures there of the good shepherd. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." It's one of the seven I am statements in the book of John, which describes who Jesus is. It's an amazing statement. And Jesus is connecting himself with who the Messiah is meant to be. If you look at the Old Testament scriptures, you're going to see a connection with the idea of shepherd. As it says in Isaiah chapter 40, "He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young." Matthew chapter 2, 6, which is quoting from the book of Micah, says this, "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." A prophecy of the Messiah, which came true as Jesus was born and then as he came to be our Messiah, to be your Messiah, the anointed one to save us. Jesus says in those words some very powerful things. He says, "I am the good shepherd." When you think about those words, "I am," perhaps you think back to the burning bush where Moses was told of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, "I am who I am." And Jesus says, "I am," and he says, then, "I am the good shepherd." And what's so significant about Jesus being the good shepherd? Well, he is in contrast to other people, other leaders. He is the good shepherd. It says in John chapter 10, verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep." How many of you have done house sitting before? I think a lot of us have done house sitting. I have too. And when you're house sitting, you're hired to take care of someone else's pet. And even if you love animals, there's a point where you're not going to be connected in the same way to that pet as the owner is. And if there's a difficult crisis, chances are you would not maybe risk your life for a pet that you were hired to take care of. And there are leaders who are in charge of taking care of people, but they're really not in it because they love the people, but rather because it's a lucrative business. We can see that in society. We can see that with our leadership in certain times and certain places in our lives. And in Jesus' day, he was dealing with a group of religious leaders, many of them, who were not really about the things of God in the sense of loving the people. And they had not been leading the people faithfully, but they'd actually been leading them astray. And Jesus contrasts himself with the leaders of the day. He's contrasting himself with other leaders who really honestly don't care about those that they are leading. But Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." It says in our epistle for today from 1 John chapter 3, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us." It says in John 15, 13, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." Romans chapter 5 says, "God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And John 3, 16, we know that one, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We've heard that verse a lot, but remember this, that though the world is a big place, that verse is talking about you. We can get feeling rather small and insignificant, just a number among a big group of people, just another tax return. But when Jesus says, when God says, for God, those verses, God so loved the world, that means you too. And don't ever forget that. And you have a good shepherd who loves you. And you know what? Another wonderful thing about the good shepherd is that when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, this for you is a present reality. This is a present reality. What do I mean by this? Well, we've had people in our life who we have respected, who we love, who are now no longer with us. This is the case. We have someone who has nurtured us, who has been there for us, but now they are in the grave. We've had leaders in our country, in different places, who have done a great job, but now they are dead. But unlike those people in your life who have been a huge blessing, who have helped you and nurtured and led you, unlike the great leaders of history who are now dead, your risen Savior Jesus is alive and he is still at work leading you and me. It says in John chapter 10, Jesus says this, for this reason the Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Yes, we acknowledge that Jesus Christ has been crucified for your sake, for your sins, for your salvation, but he is also risen from the dead, and it is a present reality. So we can say, when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, that is true today. And when we say together Psalm 23, when we say the Lord is my shepherd, that's a present reality. It's not the Lord was my shepherd, but the Lord is my shepherd. And you know, the amazing thing about this is that you have a risen good shepherd who is, and this good shepherd is going to lead you along life's way because he knows you. It says in John chapter 10, verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. It can be a wonderful, amazing feeling when somebody knows you, when someone has taken the time to get to know you, and they know a lot about you. It can be a little intimidating sometimes when someone knows you because there's a vulnerability there, but the Lord already knows everything about you. About your body, about that scar that pretty much no one else knows about and with that scar, he knows how you got that scar too. He knows about that part of your body that you really don't like very much, and yet he loves you so very much. He knows everything about you, for you were knit together in your mother's womb. You are so valuable and so precious to him, and he knows the aches and the pains, and he knows where those aches and those pains are. He knows all the thoughts that are going through your mind. He knows that there are nights when you are counting sheep trying to get to sleep, and you've gotten up to 1,500 sheep, and you still can't get to sleep. He knows about that. And he cares about you. He knows your dreams. He knows your heart. He knows the desires of your heart that he has put within you. He knows the worries, the fears, the aspirations, the goals. He knows everything about you. And he cares about you like no one else can. Despite whether you're feeling lonely, whatever you're feeling, remember this, that you have a good shepherd who is risen, who knows you and who loves you. Another thing about our good shepherd is that the one who is risen and the one who knows you, he's the one who is leading you. We find ourselves in different places in life. The statement, life is a journey, is so true. And you know the hills and the valleys, the twists and the turns, all the different terrains that you have been led through, and the Lord is leading you right now. It could be right now that you are in a place where you are restless. You're restless and you're frustrated about a current situation in your life. The Lord knows about that. Sometimes we look over and we see that the grass looks greener on the other side. And yet, can we trust that the Good Shepherd is going to lead you into the pastures where he wants you to be? And perhaps right now you are sensing that you are about to move. You're going to have a shift, a change, a direction. And perhaps you're scared about that. You like where you are right here. But the Lord is leading you in a different direction. Can you and I trust that he is going to lead us? Absolutely, for he is the one who has led the way from death to life. He's been through the scariest stuff. He knows what it's like to be tortured and killed upon a cross, and he has led the way from death to life. And because of that, we have the assurance of eternal life with him, because he leads the way. And he equips and he guides us. Hebrews chapter 13 says these amazing words. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. The beautiful thing is, as he leads you along the way, he feeds you. He feeds you. That's where we have the Lord's Supper, feeding you, and also by his word. Not just on Sunday mornings when we hear the scriptures here, but we have the opportunity every day, whenever we desire, to open that Bible and to hear the amazing words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, as sheep of the Good Shepherd, what an opportunity we have to eat up. Eat up. Stop making excuses why you're not reading your Bible. Eat up and hear the amazing words from your Lord, who desires that you would be fed, that you would be nourished. Is reading the Bible uncomfortable sometimes? Yes, it is, but don't give up. Keep reading that word as you are being fed by your Good Shepherd, who loves you and wants you to be fed and to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of the Lord. And because we have a Good Shepherd, we can say, I am a sheep of the Good Shepherd. David expresses the words, the confidence in his Good Shepherd as he speaks those words in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The other day I saw a really touching video on YouTube of a lady by the name of Kristen Getty and another lady, Johnny Erickson Tata. Kristen Getty and her husband Keith have written some of the songs, some of which we have sung. That song, In Christ Alone, was written by Kristen Getty and her husband. Now, there was an amazing video of her, Kristen, and Johnny Erickson Tata singing a song about the Good Shepherd together. I think most of us know who Johnny Erickson Tata is. For those of you that don't know, Johnny Erickson Tata is a woman who at age 16 had a diving accident and she became a quadriplegic. She spent most of her life in a wheelchair. At one point in the hospital during her recovery, she wanted to commit suicide, and she tried to, but she couldn't. And she wanted to die, and she didn't see a purpose in her life, and she was done. But Johnny's Good Shepherd did not abandon her. And through the very difficult times that Johnny Erickson experienced, God proved faithful to her. And God has used Johnny Erickson Tata in powerful ways to touch millions, literally millions of lives with the good news of Jesus Christ. And so I saw this video of Kristen and Johnny singing this song called Good Shepherd of My Soul. And I'll share some of the words with you. Good Shepherd of my soul, come dwell within me. Take all I am and mold your likeness in me. Before the cross of Christ, this is my sacrifice, a life laid down and ready to follow. And when my days are gone, my strength is failing. He'll carry me along through death's unveiling, earth's struggles overcome, heaven's journey just begun, to search Christ's depths and ever to follow. And as Psalm 23 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I want to tell you about one more person. Her name is Jill. A couple years ago, I was asked to visit a lady named Jill. Never met her before, but I was asked to go visit her. And Jill was dying of cancer, just a couple months left, and I saw her over those couple months. She was thin and very, very frail. It was difficult. It can be difficult when you know someone is dying. But I was pretty impressed at Jill, as though she was dying and she knew it, there was a certain calm that she had, a certain peace, and she would express a trust in her good shepherd. And one of the songs that she wanted me to sing for her, and one that she requested for her funeral service, was this amazing song. In God's green pastures feeding, by his cool waters lie. Soft in the evening walk my Lord and I. All the sheep of his pasture fare so wondrously fine, his sheep am I. Through the streets of the city in the darkness of night, far from the fold, he heard my lonely cry. Now I sit at his table in the palace of light, his sheep am I. So as you go through the twists and turns of life, remember this, that you are not alone. You have a good shepherd, Jesus Christ, who loves you very much. And may you say with confidence, his sheep am I. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.